The sermon today is going to come really from the book of Job, but if I could lift up one verse, it would be in chapter 42, verse 5, and I'm reading from the Contemporary English Version. And this one verse says, "I heard about you from others. Now I have seen you with my own eyes." I heard about you from others. Now I have seen you with my own eyes. Continuing in this series, healing what you've been hiding, if I could give today's sermon a title, I would call it Stronger Than the Storm. Now I'm about to do something that I don't normally do. And Elder, I'm going to need your help a little bit, but not too much, because I don't want you to drown me out. But this song has just been in my spirit, so please bear with me. Though the storms keep on raging in my life, and sometimes it's hard to tell the night from day, still that hope that lies within, it reassures as I keep mine eyes upon the distant shores. I know he'll lead me safely to that blessed place he has prepared. But if the storms don't cease, and if the winds keep on blowing in my life, my soul has been anchored in the Lord. See, because I know a little bit about something. I know a little something about knowing he who is the anchor that holds. Reverend Hilton shared with you that on yesterday we went to the funeral of a 22-year-old man, young man who obviously had impacted so many lives, and it just didn't make sense to me. And I told God that that was a storm in my life. 2013 has helped me to see my share of storms this year. At work, it's been a little rough, and in the beginning of the year, on January 16, 2013, Mommy and I were displaced from our home due to water damage for 11 weeks. But yet the anchor that I trust, he let me check in with him every day. And so I would get up and I would just thank him for a new day. I would thank him for keeping my family safe and for providing comfortable shelter. I would thank him for the ability to keep going to work every day and not even miss a beat because, see, my coworkers, when I finally told them, they said, "What? But you never even looked like you were going through a storm." I would like to thank him, and I kept on thanking him because I didn't look like what I was going through. And there's some of you in here today. You don't look like what you're going through. And so my soul has been anchored in the Lord. He's been that good. He's been that good. He's been that good to me, and he's been that good to you. Some of you, just when you thought you were down and out, just when you just got that bad report from the doctor, just when the police called and said your child was in trouble, when your spouse, after all those years of marriage, asked for a divorce. Young people, when your parents told you to follow their rules or get out, just when you found out that you might not get promoted to the next grade, just when you found out that even the little kids in here, you might have found out that your favorite pet is very, very sick. It was just then that you realized that the anchor is true to his word. Trust me, I know. The favor of God, sometimes it just doesn't even make sense. You can't explain it. Sometimes you can't even get others to believe you because it seems so far-fetched, but that's just who he is. So now imagine you're Job. You're going about your daily routine. You've amassed considerable wealth. You have a good family and you're in good health. God even vouches for you. And he asks Satan, "Have you noticed my servant Job? He is the finest man in all the earth, a man of complete integrity. He fears God and will have nothing to do with evil." And then suddenly, one day out of nowhere, the floor drops out from beneath you. Without warning, Job's world fell apart. Through no fault of his own, Job lost his wealth, his children, and his health. Even his friends were convinced that Job had brought this suffering upon himself. So as you might imagine, Job asked why. Why him? And why now? The book of Job tells this story, and it gives God's reply. And after God spoke, Job was given some real food for thought. Job is a book about success. It's about tragedy, it's about friends, and it's about faith. And as I minister and preach to you today about Job, I pray these three things: that you will allow God to begin changing your ideas about pain and suffering, that you'll learn to trust God even when you don't understand. And perhaps today, you'll walk away today no longer hiding, but you'll be healed. Now, let's get to the text. Job's troubles all started when Satan tried to drive a wedge between Job and God. He doesn't believe that Job's love and devotion for God are real. So let me stop there for a moment. We have to learn to recognize Satan's attacks, but we can't fear them. Satan cannot exceed the limits that God sets. So don't let any experiences separate you from God. Although you can't control how or when Satan attacks, you can always choose how you will respond when it happens. Can I get a witness? Let me get back to the text though. So Satan challenges the Lord to take away all that Job has and to make Job suffer to see if he will continue to trust in God. God agrees to this challenge, and Job's suffering begins. Now, you know I had to stop there for a moment, and if you're like me, you're thinking to yourself, come on, God, that ain't fair. But it also made me wonder if maybe the storm or storms in my life and in your lives are not there because God is telling Satan, yeah, go ahead. I know my son. I know my daughter. They love me for me, and I'll prove it to you, Satan. So ask yourself, is that what this storm in my life is all about? Does God need to know that I love him just for who he is? Is he trying to prove something to Satan? We wonder how it is that one day we are enjoying all that life has to offer, and the next moment everything that could go wrong seems to be doing just that. But who are we to ask God what's fair or not? Time and time again, we learn that those who love God are not exempt from suffering. Job struggled to understand why all this was happening to him, but after a while, it became clear that he was not meant to know the reasons. He would have to face life with the answers and explanations held back. Only then would his faith fully develop. And the same goes for us. We too struggle to understand why bad things happen to supposedly good people. Why do the wicked seem to prosper while the righteous seem to be forsaken? Although we may not be able to understand fully the pain we experience, it can lead us to rediscover God. We have to remember that He's always present, even in our suffering. We can use our pain, actually, to draw closer to the one true and living God. There is no quick fix answer here. The truth of the matter is that we all must experience life as Job did, one day at a time and without complete answers to all of life's questions. God is all wise and all powerful. His will is perfect, yet He doesn't always act in ways we understand. Although God is present everywhere, there are times He also seems to be far away. This may cause us to feel alone and to doubt that His care for us. This is why we must serve God for who He is and not for what we feel. He's never insensitive to our suffering. And because God is so sufficient, we must hold on to Him. It's that fact that is greater than any feeling we might have that He has abandoned us. We just have to trust God no matter what, even when it feels like His goodness is not present. Since we are locked into time, unable to see beyond today, we cannot know the reasons for everything that happens. Thus, we must often choose between anger and trust. And so I ask you today, will you trust God with your unanswered questions? Will you? Will you? If we're honest, though, we have to admit that sometimes we don't know why. We think that good things should happen to people who do good things, and that bad things should happen to people who do bad things. Sometimes it works out that way, but not always. Job was a man who did many good things and had many terrible things happen to him. His life, though, is truly an example of what God wants us to do when we don't understand what is happening to us. When the question why becomes important, we can use the letters of that word to remind us of Job's lessons. W, wait. Waiting is hard. Our instant age has taught us to expect answers and help fast. Job wanted to know why, and when God finally spoke, He didn't offer Job an answer. He showed Job that it was better to know God than to know answers. H, hope. Hope is important. When we remember that God loves us, that He has good plans for us, and that He's more powerful than any situation we might encounter, we have hope. Hope means we trust God even if we never find out why something happened. Why? Yield. Yielding means wanting to do whatever God wants. It means praying like this: God, I'm willing to wait and hope because You are my God. See, our tendency is to want to give up and get out when the going gets tough. But to trust God in the good times is commendable. But to trust Him during the difficult times, now that really tests our limits and exercises our faith. In our struggles, though, large or small, we trust that God is in control. Most of us have figured out by now that we cannot know God completely. This doesn't mean, however, that we cannot have any knowledge about God, because the Bible is full of details about who God is, how we can know Him, and how we can have an eternal relationship with Him. What it means is that we can never know enough to answer all of life's questions, to predict our own future, or to manipulate God for our own ends. Life always has more questions than answers, and we must constantly go to God for fresh insights into life's dilemmas. Like Job, we can't claim sinless lives, but we can claim forgiven lives. When we confess our sins to God, we are forgiven, and we can live our lives with a clear conscience. God's purposes go deeper than our ability to grasp all that is really happening. We shouldn't demand to know why certain calamities hit us. Often we cannot know, or we are not meant to know, until later. Even if your personal struggles seem as great and difficult as Job's, your response will indicate your current attitude toward God. Rather than becoming angry with God, continue to trust Him, no matter what your circumstances may be. Although it is sometimes difficult to see, God is yet in control. Job realized, like so many of us, that life is brief and full of troubles. Sickness, loneliness, disappointment, and the death of others caused Job to say that life is not fair. Still, Job held on to the truth that also gives hope to us, resurrection. God's solution to an unfair world is to guarantee life with him forever. So no matter how unfair your present world seems, God offers the hope of being in his presence eternally. This is why we must be careful to avoid viewing life only in terms of this present world, because God promises the faithful a never-ending future. After three rounds of speaking and debating with his friends about his suffering, and in some instances even complaining to God, and even after listening to the young man Elihu, Job finally gets to hear the Lord speak directly to him out of a windstorm. The Lord does not answer Job's questions directly, but rather answers Job by asking questions of his own. Has God ever done that to you? You ask him questions and he seems to be asking you questions right back. So Job at this point is still not sure why he suffered. Because remember, he doesn't know the role that Satan played in the beginning of the chapter of the book. But Job begins to experience God's presence in a new way, a way that helps him to live with his troubles and his unanswered questions. Don't forget, life's trials, whether allowed by God or sent by God, can help us to grow and mature. When you're facing difficult situations, ask, what can I learn and how can I grow? Rather than, who did this to me and how can I get out of this? God never tells Job why all of this befalls him. He basically tells Job that as God, he can do whatever he wants. And that's all the answer that Job needs. Big help, right? The fact that God doesn't answer Job's question is somewhat disturbing, but perhaps these 5 points will help us when we're faced with suffering and evil. Four points. Remember that though God never answered Job directly, he didn't condemn Job for asking. He just reminded Job who he was talking to. It seems that the why is a question we're free to ask, but God is not bound to answer. Sometimes he will, but sometimes he just won't. Number two, we live in a broken world of sinful people. It is a planet in rebellion against its creator. It should hardly surprise us that believers are caught in the crossfires. When you're tempted to blame God for your suffering, think about this. God gave us a perfect world. We've turned it into the chaos that it is today. Remember, being a Christian or a good person does not exempt you from pain and suffering. Jesus even guaranteed us in John 16:33 that we will experience trials and heartache. It's easy, it's real easy, to serve God when life is sunny. The test is how we respond when the storm washes over. And if you're serious about following Jesus, brace yourself. Storms will come. But we're comforted, because Jesus overcame suffering, and we can too. Number three, contrary to what a lot of Christians believe, God does not promise his children happiness. He's much more concerned with our holiness, and that involves pain, and it involves sacrifice. Worthwhile things seldom, if ever, come without great cost, and following Jesus is no exception. Finally, number four, when nothing else helps, remember this. When you or someone you love suffers, no one hurts more than God. He's a good father, and it pains him deeply to see his children hurt. He feels with us so genuinely that he got personally involved in our struggle. He became a man and suffered and died for us. So when you hurt, remember, you never cry alone. God knows, God sees, and God cares. The story of Job ends, but not before Job replies to the Lord. In verses 1-5, Job said, "No one can oppose you because you have the power to do what you want. You asked why I talk so much when I know so little. I have talked about things that are far beyond my understanding. You told me to listen and answer your questions. I heard about you from others. Now I have seen you with my own eyes. I don't know about the rest of you, but there's something about seeing God with your own eyes that makes all the pain go away. Although Job's response in the next verse is to hate himself and sit in dust and ashes to show his sorrow, I'm encouraged. And some of you should be encouraged too. Because like me, you know what it's like to see God with your own eyes. When you see him with your own eyes, it does something to you on the inside. You start feeling like you can conquer the world. You start feeling like you can tell the mountains to be henceforth removed, and they actually move. You start looking different. You start acting different. You start talking and thinking differently. Let me tell you, once I saw God with my own eyes, I knew there was no going back. I couldn't keep letting my self-esteem issues keep me from becoming all that God had planned for me. I couldn't let the fact that I grew up without my father continue to impact my personal relationships with others. I couldn't let the opinions of others stop me from feeling good about myself. Once I start to see God with my own eyes, I told the devil, "You have got to flee and you cannot come back." I began to feel better and my devotion to God increased all the more. It's hard to explain, I know, to some of you who might not have experienced it yet, but hold on. You just keep believing, you just keep trusting, and you keep the faith. And one day, soon and very soon, you too will see him with your very own eyes. And just so you don't think the story ends on a sad note, the Lord actually made Job twice as rich as he had been before. He blessed Job more than ever. I mean, you have to read the story for yourself, but I will tell you this. The God who blessed Job in the end is the same God that's waiting to do the same thing for me and the same thing for you. He's waiting to show you that, like Job, if you hold on and if you endure, if you keep trusting and you keep believing, you too can be stronger than any storm. You can heal what you've been hiding. Governor Christie has this slogan that's becoming very popular in New Jersey for those who survived Superstorm Sandy. He, along with others in the commercial, remind New Jerseyans and others who are listening that the people of New Jersey are stronger than the storm. Yes. There's also this story, and it's told of a woman named Martha Martin who proved that with determination and conviction that anyone can be stronger than their storm. Martha Martin, the wife of an Alaskan prospector in the 1920s, was pregnant, and her husband left her at their camp and went to a neighboring island to run an errand. A series of disasters struck almost immediately. First, an avalanche pinned her under a rock on the mountainside where she lay unconscious for several days. She finally managed to crawl back to their cabin and reset the broken bone she had suffered, making a splint for her leg and a cast for her arm. Then a storm prevented her husband's return. Injured, alone, and with supplies almost gone, she quickly learned how to be self-sufficient, killing animals for food and using their fur to make coverings for the coming baby. Bit by bit, she began burning pieces of the cabin for heat. Martha had never seen a child born before, but when she went into 2 days of hard labor, she kept her head and helped herself after her daughter finally arrived. She later baptized the infant and named her Danis. Several weeks later, some Indians appeared, and she finally had help until her husband, who had been stranded on the other island, arrived. Martha Martin, what she did for herself and her unborn child defied the odds to prove to herself and others that any one of us can be stronger than our storm. New Jerseyans all over this great state are defying the odds to prove that they are stronger than their storms. And you too can be stronger than your storm. And if there's any doubt, let me point you to the one who is stronger than any storm that life might bring our way. Let me see if you know who he is. They say that he himself spoke to a storm and immediately the wind and the waves calmed down. They say that he endured shame and doubts and pity and humiliation and the feeling of being forsaken by his very own father. They say he knew what was going to happen at Calvary and he went anyway. They say he was crucified on an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. They say he hung, bled, and died that you and I might live and live life abundantly. They say he got up on the third day with all power in his hands and showed death that he was indeed stronger than any sting and stronger than any storm. And now they say he lives at the right hand of the Father, preparing to come back again someday. Who is this someone? What's his name? I can't hear you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And so I say to you, the next time that we're tempted to complain or feel sorry for ourselves during our times of testing and our times of suffering, let us remember the people of New Jersey and let us remember Martha Martin. But more importantly, let us remember Jesus Christ, the one who paid it all. All to him we owe. Sin has left a crimson stain. He washed it. He washed it. He washed it white as snow. Jesus suffered that you and I might live. Thank you, Jesus. We shall never forget what you've done for us. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen.